Good evening, everyone. Glad to have you with us for this last session of our Discovering Revelation series. Sorry about that. You can tell we're learning how to do this here, and I don't think anybody will accuse us of being too perfect with this, but we're learning our equipment. And I would just like to thank everyone for tuning in. For the last several weeks, we have had an interesting time together, and it's been great to hear from you, those that have put in comments on the feed, the comment section on Facebook underneath the messages, and to get to know some new people and to enjoy studying the Word of God together. And so tonight, we've come to our last message in this series. In fact, the title of the message is The Last Night on Earth. This is a rather sobering thought, sobering idea. We have been through some really unusual times in the last several weeks. And, you know, I never would have thought that we would have come to our last church service in our church building, and I don't mean to say that that's permanent. We're certainly hoping to get back into the church within a reasonable time. I don't know what that will be yet, but there did come a time, and we didn't realize it, that, you know, March the 14th was our last service in both of our churches in Gold Beach and in Brookings, and for many, many other churches. There were some churches that shut down the week before that, were ahead of us by a week. And then, of course, there were some that stayed open. But we've come to this time where we've just had some unprecedented news of things that we've never, ever experienced before. Good to see you, Larry. Thanks for checking in. God bless you, too. So tonight, we want to think about this topic, the last night on earth. Was there ever a time for anyone when it was their last night on earth? Well, of course, that is true for everyone. Everybody reaches that point because we all die at some point. Sometimes it happens sooner than we expect. We had the opportunity many years ago when we lived in Massachusetts to visit the Museum of Science for a special exhibit of artifacts and things from the ancient city of Pompeii. And it was sometime in there, 70 AD, 71 AD, I don't remember the exact year, but Pompeii suffered a horrific volcano blast from Mount Vesuvius, which was a mountain right near the city of Pompeii. And it was just this kind of ash, these pumice-like stones at first, and they didn't realize that how serious it was when it started. People were just catching these things falling out of the sky. But then eventually it became much worse, and the volcano began to spew, you know, just tons and tons and tons and hundreds and millions of tons of this ash. Many of the people tried to run away. Those that had taken off earlier, many of them did make it out alive, but many did not. And the curious thing about Mount Vesuvius and that eruption is that because of the way that this ash fell on that city and caught so many people who weren't prepared, who were going back into their houses to get things, gold coins, jewelry, valuables of one kind or another, and this ash just fell so quickly that it actually fell around these people and buried them en route as they were trying to get out of their houses or get down the street. And so their bodies were encased within this ash. And of course, over the course of hundreds and hundreds of years, their bodies disintegrated. And archaeologists came along and found this some time ago, and they were actually able to pump plaster into these cavities where the people were. And the plaster forms of the people and exactly where they were, what they were doing, what they were carrying, when they were trying to get out of Pompeii at that time has been amazingly preserved. And we actually saw some of these plaster figures or copies of them at the Museum of Science in Boston there when the exhibit was there. And this all happened in the course of one day. That was the last night on Earth for the citizens of Pompeii. This particular city, in fact, is a city that was in a part of the world where the Apostle Paul probably passed through Pompeii. He preached in many of the cities in that area. We don't have a record that he preached in Pompeii, although it's possible that he did. But even if he didn't, he probably traveled through there. There have been a lot more archaeological digs there and findings of the city of Pompeii. They had furniture that was from that period, you know, 2,000-year-old tables, beds, and all these things that was on display, the real items there at the Museum of Science in this exhibit that, of course, moved around to different museums around the country and around the world. But I thought to myself, if I had lived in the city of Pompeii on that night so long ago, would I have taken warning and gotten out of the city early? Would I have been wise to what was happening? Or would I have been like one of those that thought, no, it's not serious, I can stay by? There were people that just stayed in their homes and they thought that they would be safe in their houses. Well, you're not going to be safe in your house with that kind of a situation, but they thought that they were, and they died in their homes. If I had died on that night so long ago, would I have been ready to die? Would I be ready to meet Jesus? That's the really big question that we all ask ourselves when it comes to dying, our last night on earth. Are we ready to meet the Lord? Have we made things right with God? Are we prepared to face eternity? That's the most important question that we can ask. And we really need to ask ourselves, am I a converted Christian? Am I a born-again Christian? Whether I'm going to live a long life and die, natural causes here in this world, or whether my life is going to be cut short or somewhere in between, the most important thing is that I live day by day in light of eternity and ready to meet the Lord at any time and to face eternity in the close of my earthly probation, which is something that we all must face. The Bible says that it is appointed man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We've heard many, many interesting Bible studies during this series. We've learned about the great truth of the Word of God. I've got a beautiful copy here of God's Word that I've had for a long time. I love this Bible, and it's a nice, easy print, easy to read. The beautiful King James Version. That's the most beautiful English, by the way, that was ever written. I think that's the reason why the King James is so popular. And I'm not suggesting to you that you should only read the King James Version, but I like this Bible. And we've learned about the truth of the Bible. We've learned about the prophecies that tell us that we're living in the end of time and that the second coming of Christ is the next great event to happen that was prophesied. We learned about the gospel commission to share Christ throughout all the world. We've learned about the prophecies of the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. We've learned about the great and most important truth of the first coming of Jesus, the death of Christ for our sins, his resurrection, his ascension, his ministry for us in the heavenly sanctuary. God, Jesus Christ is not only our sacrifice, he is also our high priest. And the Bible says that he ever lives to make intercession for us, praying to his Father that we would enjoy the blessings of salvation and that we could be with him. You know, one time Jesus prayed in John 17:24, Father, I pray not for these alone, but for all those who will believe on me through the word of these disciples, that they will be with me where I am. And that's what Jesus prayed in John 17. That's what Jesus prays today in the heavenly sanctuary above as our high priest. Father, I will that those whom you have given me may be with me where I am. Jesus Christ is preparing a place for you. He knows exactly what kind of place you would like. He is looking forward to his soon return with much greater anticipation than we could possibly feel. You know, we talk about it a lot and how much we look forward to it, how we want the Lord to come, we want the suffering of this world to end. But we don't stop to think about what the second coming of Jesus means to Jesus and what all the people in this world who have trusted in Jesus Christ mean to Jesus. Can you imagine how much the Lord Jesus Christ loves anyone who has trusted in him for salvation and has walked with him for any length of time after he went through all that he did, coming to this world, living life as we live it, suffering death on the cross, and it was the second death. It was the death to sin, the penalty for sin, something we will always be learning more and discovering more about. Resurrected, appointed the disciples to preach the gospel to all the world. Can you imagine how much he loves anyone who trusts in him and who responds to this message, and how jealous he is for that person, and how much he wants to protect that person, you, me, anyone who trusts in him. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's you or me or anyone, put your name in the verse, John, Mary, Susan, Elizabeth, Marilyn, Larry, whoever is watching, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn, put your name in there. The first time I thought of this, it's just made such an impact on me. He did not send his son into the world to condemn Barry Kimbrough, but that Barry Kimbrough, believing in him, would be saved, might be saved. That was why Jesus came into the world. That was why God the Father sent Jesus Christ into this world. So we've been learning these wonderful, wonderful truths, and we want to not just think that they are interesting, not just think, isn't it great that we know something that the Bible says about this and that even some other things that other people don't know, but to take the message to heart and really have a heartfelt surrender experience with God. We say, Lord, I want you in my life. I want you more than anything else. I want to know you. I want to be a man of God. I want to be a woman of God. I want to be a young person who is known for being a Christian. That's the experience that God is calling us to. You know, many people have had this last night on earth experience. I can share with you a very interesting, welcome Max, good to see you tonight. A very interesting experience that happened in 1907 in Kingston, Jamaica. There was an evangelist by the name of Luther Warren. He was one of the greatest evangelists that we've had in this country. And he was asked to go down to Kingston, Jamaica, and hold a series of evangelistic meetings, much like our Discovering Revelation series that we just have had these weeks, covering many of the same topics. And he was to go down there and hold this series of meetings and train young pastors that were there. The mission work had been going there for some time, but the pastors needed training how to do these kind of public evangelistic meetings. And Luther Warren arrived. He spent the afternoon in prayer. And in the evening, the meetings were to begin. And he had a protracted series of messages planned. You know, like this series, we've been doing, we were doing 4 nights a week, then we cut back to 3 nights a week. And so, you know, it takes several weeks to get through one of these series of meetings. And back in those days, they would preach for sometimes more than a month, more than 2 or 3 months, several months at a time sometimes, going through many, many teachings of the Bible in that way. Well, there were some leaders there, and there were these young pastors, and there was this guest evangelist, Elder Warren, that was to kind of show him how it's done. He had been very successful in his evangelistic series in the United States in many different cities. And he got up that night to preach, and it was opening night. And he was to preach the first opening subject for that series. I don't know what the topic was that night, but it was to cover, you know, a basic introductory kind of topic. And for some reason, after he had talked about this subject for a couple of minutes, he got this really strong impression that he had said all he needed to say about that subject, and he just felt strongly that he wasn't to say any more, and that he should go on with the next night's subject. Right there. Now, this is right during the first sermon. So after about 5 minutes on the night on the subject for the first night, he went in the next 5 minutes and preached on the subject for the next night's message. And then he felt very strongly impressed that he was not supposed to say anything more about that. Excuse me. And he thought, well, I'll go on to the next night. And he kept going. He's spending like 2, 3, 4 minutes on each subject and going on to the next night's subject, the next night's subject, and so on. And one of the leaders was just walking around the building wondering, what in the world is Elder Warren doing? This is absolutely nonsense. This makes no sense whatsoever. This is totally the wrong way to do it. We've never taught anybody to do it this way. And here comes this professional. And what is he doing? He covered every single topic of the entire series in that one sermon. And then he said at the end of the message, in a very earnest appeal, I feel impressed to say to this crowd tonight that for many of you, this is your last chance to hear the gospel. For many of you, this is your last chance. And he made an altar call, and hundreds of people came forward. Well, later on that night, the biggest earthquake to hit that part of the world hit Kingston, Jamaica, that very city where those meetings were being held or where they were started. And many of those people lost their lives that night in a situation kind of like Mount Vesuvius. It wasn't a volcano, but it was a natural disaster. It was an earthquake. And what could Luther Warren do? Of course, he couldn't do the series of meetings anymore. The whole city was in ruins. And he just went around and tried to minister to those that were surviving. That's all he could do. But he was very sensitive to the influence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit had revealed to him at least enough to say, this is urgent. This is important. You need to take advantage of this tonight. If you're going to hear this message and respond to it, this is your chance. And it's your last chance. I cannot say to you tonight, whoever is listening, that this is your last chance to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I can tell you that the Bible doesn't ever promise us salvation for tomorrow. There is no text like that, that's salvation for tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That's what it says in the book of Hebrews and in various other places. So the word today, it's really the word. Dwight Moody, the great evangelist of the 19th century, was preaching in Chicago, a series of evangelistic meetings. And at the end of his opening night, he said to the crowd, I want you to go home and think about this message and consider whether you want to give your life to Christ and just think about it tonight. Well, he really lived to regret that appeal because a similar thing happened that night as happened in Kingston, Jamaica. But it was not an earthquake. It wasn't a volcano like Vesuvius, but it was a great fire in Chicago, the Great Chicago Fire. And many of those people died that night. And he never forgave himself for making the appeal that way. He felt he should have said, tonight, come and receive Jesus and make the invitation right then and there. And after that, he never ever gave a sermon without giving an appeal. And so tonight I make the appeal. I make an appeal to you and I make an appeal to myself. Tonight is the night to say, Lord, I want to be a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. I want to step out in obedience to the truths that I have learned in this series of meetings. I want to believe in Jesus who died for my sins, who rose again for me, who went to heaven to be my high priest, who is a soon coming king. I want to follow Jesus. I want to keep all the Ten Commandments, not just some of them, not 9 out of 10, but all 10. I love your Sabbath. I want to enjoy Sabbath by Sabbath with you, Lord. I want to trust in the power of the Holy Spirit to make me into a new person in Jesus. And I want to share my faith with others in a unique way, that whatever way that I can. You know, God has given us all, each of us, different gifts and abilities to share our faith. And so that's my appeal tonight. I can share with you that for me, I grew up in a Christian home. I was blessed to have church-going parents on both sides of my family. But I had a time when I got into my early teens where, I'll never forget it, I was 14 years old, and I attended a special camp meeting that our church was hosting in Central California. And I heard the gospel in a way that just made a profound effect on me. I was really ready to hear it at that time. I'd had some rather difficult experiences as a young people. My mind was open to God, and I heard the message from someone who was able to present Jesus in a way that was relatable to a teenager. And I felt a call to accept Christ as my personal Savior. I knew that He was the Savior of the world. I knew that we went to church to worship Him in a general sort of way. But I really had a personal time of faith where it was no longer my parents, but it was something that I was embracing for myself at that time. And it was the same calling to the ministry at the same time. Up to that point, I had thought I really would like to get into a career that would make a lot of money, some type of professional career. But as I listened to that evangelist at that camp meeting when I was 14 years old, Soquel, California, 1979, I felt an identification with him. I sensed that he really believed the message that he was preaching. He was pouring his heart and soul into it. And I thought, wow, what would that be? That would be a wonderful thing to do, to spend my life sharing this wonderful hope of the good news of the gospel. A short time after this, I got a hold of a Bible that had wide margins that I could make notes in. And I began reading my Bible for myself instead of just reading it for a Sabbath school class or for an assignment in school. And I was so thrilled to read verses that I had heard the pastors preach from in the pulpit. Many verses that had become a little bit familiar to me from hearing them in worship, in church, in some types of public presentations. And I would read them out of the Bible for myself for the first time. I was so thrilled, so excited. And I developed really a relationship with the Bible that has been a wonderful strength and encouragement to me to this day. And many different Bible promises became very special to me. I'll just share with you my favorite one. I've shared this before, but in Isaiah 54, verse 10, we have a promise, and the book of Isaiah has so many wonderful promises, but as Isaiah 54, verse 10, a promise from God that revealed to me the character of God, the love of God, the fact that God is bigger than any of my problems, but He understands me. He loves me. He understands my life, what I've been through, and he has a plan and a purpose for me. And no instability, no insecurity, no fear, no problem that I have could possibly be bigger than something that he can handle. He can unravel the most tangled difficulty in my life. He is not burdened by my problems. They're not too heavy for him. And this promise reminded me of that. Isaiah 54, verse 10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. The kindness and love of God. This really reached me as a kid. That was something that I was in need of. I'm thankful for so many people that God used to bring, show me his love. And I'm thankful for his word that revealed his love to me. And the love of God just filled my heart to overflowing as a young person. I didn't know much about the Bible back then. I didn't know what my life would hold in its future. There were many things that I didn't know, and I'm still learning many things about living the Christian life, about what it is to be a follower of Jesus, and how it touches every aspect of your life. And I'm so thankful for the wonderful message, the life-giving message of the Bible, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the three angels' messages of Revelation 14. And I hope and pray that you will feel a desire to follow these messages as well. And so tonight, I just simply make an appeal. Wherever you are, if you're nearby or if you're far away, I know that there was someone here that contacted me earlier today from Africa and that was watching the messages. Wherever you are, God loves you. God cares for you. God has a plan for your life. Reach out and say to God, Lord, I want to have you in my life. I want to have Jesus Christ in my life. I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to be a follower of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to have God's will and God's way in my life. I say, Lord, I believe that you can run my life better than I could run it. And I don't think anybody would disagree with that. You believe that God can run your life better than you can? Of course. And this is an opportunity to say, Lord, I not only believe that you can run it better than I can, but I want you to, and I surrender my life to you. Guide me and lead me in my life, in my future. And the Lord will do that for you if you'll trust in him. And how can you do it? How can that be a practical reality? Well, through daily reading of the Word of God, through fellowship with other believers. You want to get with someone, probably someone who may be in your church, a church near you that you can talk to, and that someone who really knows the Lord. Just ask that person, how is it that you develop your faith? How do you trust in God? How do you live for Christ? What do you do when you're having a hard time? Do you ever have times when your faith isn't, you don't feel strong in your faith? You know, talk to someone who you know has a good, strong connection with God that can help you in your Christian life and can help you get along on the same path. And the Lord will lead you. The Lord will guide you. There'll be wonderful adventures for Christ. I remember my dad used to ask me, when I was in my first church in McCall, Idaho, and my dad called up, he said, how are the Seventh-day Adventurers doing up there? And I didn't really know what to say, and he liked to joke a lot. But I can say this, that it is a marvelous adventure to live for Christ. It is a tremendous, exciting thing to work for the Lord, to see God work, to see God provide needs, to help him, or to have him help us to help other people and be a blessing to other people. I remember probably one of the happiest days of my ministry as a pastor was one time when there was some a married couple that had gotten in trouble with the law. It was kind of a unique situation, both of them together, and that it happened in the county where I lived. And I lived just like about 2 minutes by foot from the county courthouse in this one town. This happened in Idaho. And this couple, I had gotten to know them when they had spent some time in the jail. And then they got out and the judge sentenced them to some probation and some community service. But they had to come back and I had to go to the bus stop and pick them up, bring them to their appointment with the legal people at the courthouse and, you know, for their regular routine meeting with the probation people. And I picked them up. I took them for the day and spent time with them. And I was able to help them. I remember that as one of the best days that I've experienced in my ministry. Felt like I was helping someone in a way that they needed. And they were very appreciative of the help that I was able to give them. They seemed to be doing very well under the circumstances in the program that the judge had outlined. And it appeared that they were going to be all right. You know, when God uses you to reach out to help and bless people, whether it's through a practical help or through an actual sharing of the gospel, sharing your faith, something spiritual, something from the Bible, whatever kind it is, it's a great blessing, and you'll never forget it. And God can use you in a special way that He can use nobody else. You have a personality, you have a set of talents, a set of abilities that is unique to you. Now, there may be other people who can do some of the same things that you do, but they can't do it exactly the way you do. They haven't had the same background. They have not had the same experiences. And God has a unique plan for you in His great plan in this world. And God's love for you is unique and special because there's only one of you. Can you imagine, you know, if you had several children, and there may be people here listening today who have had several children. I remember hearing about a man who had five sons, and one of them almost died in an accident, and he did everything he could to save that son's life, and it did, he was saved. And he said, when that was happening, I did not have any spare sons. I had this son that I wanted to save. Even though we had five sons, I love each one of them. And God feels that way about you. He may have millions of children in this world, but He loves you in a unique, special way. If you don't respond to Him, if you don't trust in Him, if you don't accept the gift of an eternal future and happiness that He has for you, there will be an eternal emptiness in God's heart because you did not accept the gift that He so much wanted to give you. And that's how much God loves you. That's how much God cares for you. And He has a special place for you in His service that'll be very fulfilling and will bring a great blessing to you. And so tonight, my prayer is that everyone who is a part of this live program, or anyone who is listening in a recorded sense after this has already been on to Facebook Live, wherever you are, whenever you're listening to this, I pray that you would accept this great gospel of Jesus Christ and begin the walk of salvation. It only takes one step to begin this walk. It may be a long journey from here to heaven, but it only takes one step to begin the journey, and Jesus Christ will walk with you every step of the way. I would like to just pray with you right now as we close this meeting tonight. Our Father in heaven, I pray that you will bless everyone who is listening, bless everyone who will be listening to this message later. Lord, help us to trust in Jesus. Help us to walk with Christ, like Enoch who walked with God. Show us the blessings that you have in store for us. Show us how we can be a blessing to others, and prepare us for your soon return. We don't know when that time comes, when it's our last chance, but help us not to wait until that time, but to make our surrender, to accept you into our lives, to have true faith and trust right now, today. Today is the day of salvation. And help us not to miss out anymore on the blessings that you have for us. And we pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you all for tuning into these programs. I just want to say that we will continue to have weekly Bible studies here. I'm leading out every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, not at 6 o'clock, but 7 o'clock tomorrow night. I'll be leading out in a Bible study, an interactive time of prayer and Bible study. And we're studying prayer, but that'll be 7 o'clock on this same Facebook page. So that will continue every Wednesday night. We also have our Saturday morning worship, Sabbath morning worship time at 11 o'clock, same Facebook Live, Brookings Seventh-day Adventist, and we'll be continuing that. There are some Sabbath school classes for this more interactive Bible study that happen at 9 o'clock, 9:15, and if you are interested in one of those, please send me a message, and I can get you in touch with the person to get you a Zoom link to be able to join in one of those classes. But Wednesday nights, Saturday mornings, we'll be continuing here. And may God bless you as you look to him each day, as you trust him, as you accept him into your life. And we'll be looking forward to seeing you next time, and join with us tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Good night, and God bless you.